This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. The other day, I walked around to the sunny side of my house, and I thought someone had punched a hole in my wall. Turns out it was just a huge cluster of little bugs. No problem. They were sort of graphite in color with red piping, and they were all over the place. They were on my barn, too. But our next guest is pretty nonchalant about the whole thing. Oh, yeah, that, he said when we called him up. I hear about that every year. It's just the box elder invasion. Joining me now to explain what the heck he's talking about is conservation biologist Kent McFarland from the Vermont Center for Eco Studies. You may also recognize him from VPR's Outdoor Radio. Hi, Kent.
Hi, how's it going?
Good, but so what the heck are these box elder bugs and why are they invading our houses?
Well, it happens every year about this time. I can almost tell what the calendar is by my phone ringing or my email chiming about box elder bugs. And these little critters feed on box elder trees, which is a maple tree. And they are true bugs. They're not beetles. They're actually Hemiptera. They're bugs. And about this time of year, they gather in these groups like you witnessed. They gather on the side of my garage, for example, and it looks like some kind of creepy, you know, sci-fi movie is happening on the side of my garage where they're all over it. I mean, thousands of them. And if you look closely at it, you'll see both adults and what are called nymphs, the younger ones. The adults are sort of black with red stripes on them, and the younger nymphs are more reddish colored and smaller. And they love to get on the sides of buildings or the sides of trees that are facing the sun to stay warm at this time of year, because their mission is to find a place eventually to crawl into to overwinter, to survive winter to spring. So they want to try to find, you know, a crack in your basement or a place in your barn that they can hide out just to get out of the weather and sort of survive the winter and have more bugs next year. And the reason there's so big gatherings right now is because it was a kind of a dry summer in the end. And apparently dry summers are really favorable to their population. So this year I'm getting extra numbers of calls and emails about them.
Yeah, I mean, it does seem, at least in my experience, my limited experience, like this is a, I don't know whether you want to put a judgment on it and say a worse year, but perhaps a more more populous year.
Yeah, they're robust.
That's right.
The cool thing is if you're brave and you want to put your nose down by them, they exude sort of a scent from them that's a little kind of lemony, kind of tart, and it's sort of a warning scent because they really are distasteful. They're red for a reason. That's sort of a warning color telling predators like, hey, you know what? You might want to back off because I taste bad.
I don't know. They've got some tart and lemony sounds good. I thought you were going to say I could, you know, sprinkle them on my salad.
Well, you know, I actually like the smell of them. Some people don't. Now, there's a similar bug that we're seeing that don't get in masses like that, but it's called the Western conifer seed bug. And it's another bug that has moved actually from the west into the east over the last couple decades. Maybe naturally, maybe, you know, on trucks or whatnot, but they're here now and they feed on conifer seeds. And this time of year, they're doing the same thing. They're gathering on the side of your house. They're brown and not so bright colored. They gather on the side of your house and you'll even find them inside your house. They're kind of flat and they look a little ridiculous. But if you pick them up in your house to put them outside, they immediately will emit a really pungent sort of pine solly smell right out of them. And I can't recommend doing this at home, but I have licked my fingers afterwards just to see what it does, and it's really bitter. I mean, really bitter. Don't do it at home, but it is very bitter. And so instead of having this red color warning things like, hey, I'm really distasteful, they actually immediately emit this sort of gaseous smell to warn predators like, don't mess with me. They're doing the same thing, though, trying to find a place to live for the winter. So again, they're getting in our homes, and that's when we start to notice them.
So they're related, maybe not entomologically, but behaviorally to these box elder bugs. What about things like ladybugs or, you know, cluster flies, which are just loving this warm weather?
Well, you know, ladybugs are the same thing. Unfortunately, the ladybugs we're seeing gather in our house are exotic introduced ladybugs from Asia. They're the Asian ladybug that were introduced. You know, they were trying to introduce them to eat more aphids and greenhouses and whatnot, but unfortunately now they're naturalized, and there's a little bit of fear that they're actually taking over space for some of our native ladybugs. And so there's some projects online that you can look up, like the Lost Ladybug Project, which is trying to find some of our native ladybugs, which have been disappearing, while these Asian ladybugs have just been gathering like mad and overwintering in our house again. So it's kind of the same deal. All these bugs right now, they're looking for a place to live for the winter.
Ooh, Kent, I am going to go look up Lost Ladybug Project when I get out of this interview with you. That sounds like a wonderful name at the very least.
Well, the great thing about all these things is that, you know, if anyone is curious, they can get involved. There's the Vermont Entomological Society in Vermont that has great field trips if you want to learn about some of these bugs. We've got iNaturalist projects online. If you go to iNaturalist and look up Vermont, we've got a huge project on there. So you don't even have to know what it is. If you take a picture of it with your phone, you can post it there, and people like me will help you identify it. Plus, it goes into our database. And it's great. Like, with this really warm weather we're having, we've been getting a lot of strange reports of really late butterflies, for example. So the Red Cedar School over in Bristol yesterday, for example, put on iNaturalist a Viceroy butterfly, which is about 2 or almost 3 weeks later than the record for Viceroy butterflies in Vermont. The former record was October 9th, and they found one flying yesterday. So it's great. It's everyone can help us discover some of these changes in some of these population levels that are changing and extending further into the fall just by, you know, using their smartphone and some of these apps.
Well, can we talk a little bit about butterflies? You mentioned the Viceroy, which is, of course, a monarch mimic. But monarchs and painted ladies, I think maybe perhaps more universally welcomed invasion in our area this year.
Yeah, I mean, it was epic for painted ladies this year. This is a butterfly that actually is a serious migrant, just like monarchs. And earlier in the season, sometime around, probably early July, we had a northward flux of painted ladies out of the south come zooming through Vermont. It lasted for about a week. You had to really be watching to notice it. And they went up into Canada, and apparently they had a banner year in Canada. And so this fall, they came zooming back down through Vermont, and in fact, the entire eastern part of the United States was covered in painted ladies, and they were all headed probably to Mexico, where they're going to overwinter there too. Now, they're not like monarchs. They don't gather in one spot. They sort of just disperse to the south where they're not going to get frozen out. They can't deal with any freezing cycles. So it's another one of those amazing migrations that kind of goes unheralded, but is really crazy if you really keep your eye on it. And, you know, monarchs this year too were the same thing. We had a banner monarch year in the Northeast this year, and it's been a great migration. But it's also been a little bit strange with this fall weather. Normally, the migration for monarchs is long done. We get a few trickling out in late October, and we often even wonder if they can get to Mexico. But right now, we have pretty strong migration in Canada, in Vermont right now. People are reporting monarchs just on Friday. There was 6 reported in White River Junction by one of our biologists, Jason Hill. That's really unusual right now to have that many monarchs coming out this far north. At the same time, there's big-time monarchs in Texas right now headed to Mexico. So we've got monarch migration that spans about 1,500 miles right now. Usually it's long further south. So it's really an unusual fall.
Well, we'll have to keep an eye on it with your help, Kent. I know you've been following it, so we can put a link to Kent's blog up at vpr.net. Kent McFarland is co-host of VPR's Outdoor Radio, and he's a conservation biologist with the Vermont Center for Eco Studies. Thank you so much for talking with us today, Kent.
Thanks a lot, Jane. Hope everyone gets outside.